It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
All right. We are doing a very different episode today.
Very.
We are sitting out in Gates Park in Port Coquitlam.
Lovely
because
Port Coquitlam.
It's actually legal now to drink in certain parks in Port Coquitlam, and there's some other municipalities too.
Yep. Trial basis.
And we were close to this area, so we thought we'd stop at this park. It's a nice big park with lots of sports fields, lots of wide open areas.
Yeah, the sports fields make sense to me, why they'd want to do an alcohol pilot here, because I'm sure the beer leagues are here drinking beer anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not try it out here? Yeah, it's a big park. There's trails and stuff, too. So even if you're coming through on your mountain bike or something like that, you can pull over, grab a bench, and have a nice little beverage. So, yeah. So here we are in the park, broadcasting, and we're going to be trying some different local beers here. And, doing it in the lovely outdoors. Mike's taking some photos to share so that we can prove that we were sitting in the park. So, yeah, there's a few municipalities that are trying this out. Port Coquitlam was one of the ones that's really going forward with this.
Yeah, North Vancouver,
I think they have half a dozen or eight or something parks they've designated to try this out.
I think it's seven parks here. I think so, yeah.
And North Van's done it, too. They have a few parks. But from what I understand, it's just portions of parks. It's
probably,
like the whole park. And I know Vancouver's toying with the idea and trying it out maybe next year.
They're starting to designate some non-parks.
Yeah.
I think I heard the Vancouver Art Gallery might be getting it in that big paved area.
Strange, okay.
So they were saying something about they claim that there's issues.
In the summer they block that off and they have little sitting areas and stuff like that, right?
They were trying to claim that the provincial government has to change some legislation before you could drink in parks. But when other municipalities are making it happen, just sounds like Vancouver is being
making
behind
excuses.
Again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Penticton also has drinking at the parks,
is
including
right?
some of their beaches.
That makes sense. Big tourist town.
Yeah. So I don't see too many people drinking here, but there was some people drinking before we got here. I see a bottle of wine.
Yep.
Yeah,
these guys are having wine with their dinner. There was a couple guys here on bike that were just having a beverage who left. So, people are aware of it, and they're taking advantage.
Yeah, but it's quiet. There's no
one
being stupid.
Before this afternoon, I was talking to a friend of mine. She's from Britain originally. She's been over here for a long time, but I mentioned to her that we were going to be doing a podcast from the park.
Yeah.
And she was like, in Britain, it's quite normal to have a beer at the park. So we're growing up here. They're starting to treat us like adults.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, geez, I've been to Vegas a couple times, and I've never really seen any problems there, and it's Vegas.
Well, it's interesting in Vegas. I was drinking a beer on the street, on the strip, and I actually stopped a police officer and asked him about the legality of it. And he explained to me that drinking liquor, open liquor, on the sidewalk is actually illegal in Las Vegas.
Oh.
But they don't enforce it unless you're being a jackass.
Which, it's always illegal to be a jackass and drunk, so...
Right, so they do give you some leeway there, so yeah, it's not really legal, but they let it go.
Well, I literally saw some signs in some of the stores I went to, do not open this until you exit the store.
yeah.
So there is that option.
For sure.
All right. Well, why don't we get into our first beer here,
yeah.
and then we'll keep talking. I got a trio of beers from Bomber Brewing to try out.
Cool.
So the rep gave them to me. So let's try them out. We're going to start out with Sunday Brunch.
Sunday Brunch. Now that sounds like a mimosa to me.
Man. Yeah. It's a 4% alcohol beer. It is a collaboration with Stone Brewing again.
Cool.
They must have been back up in town more recently than when they did the Bud for a Stone or whatever collaboration.
Mm-hmm. So that's Stone from San Diego for those of you who are guessing.
So it says on here... Eastern Europe by way of Italy. This fruit ale pales. This fruit ale pays tribute to fresh and bright aperitifs in its use of tangerine juice and Lithuanian farmhouse yeast. Ooh. Made in collaboration with Stone Brewing of San Diego, May Spritzers. Oh, many spritzers were harmed in the making of this beer. I can speak today.
So, yeah, so tangerine juice and that, and they're sort of mimicking a mimosa kind of idea or something like that.
Seems like it.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Lithuanian farmhouse yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, wow, this is very fizzy, yeah. Lithuanian farmhouse yeast. Now, that's not something that I've really heard of before.
Why is it so active?
I wonder if it's somehow similar to, like, a Kvik or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so this is a little on the hazy side. Not super hazy, but a bit. It's got a lovely, like, orange color to it. It looks like tangerine.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, I mean, it's hazier than some hazy IPAs that some breweries make.
Yeah, but it's not thick like some hazy.
No, for sure, yeah.
Interesting aroma.
It's a little mild.
Yeah, very mild. I'm getting a little bit of that yeasty thing, a little of that bready kind of thing in that.
Yeah, but it's definitely got a...
You get the little fruit in there. Fruit.
I couldn't say it's tangerine per se, but it's definitely citrus.
And you get a little tickle of the hops. Pretty subdued, but it's all there. It smells balanced.
Yeah. It's, again, subdued, but I mean, it's easy drinking. This pretty easy to crush on a patio.
Yeah. Picking up just a little bit of that pithiness, you know, from the tangerine peel itself, but...
No real sweetness, per se. It's pretty dry.
Picking up that juicy orange tangerine thing, though. It's not overpowering. It's not, like, slapping you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this would be good straight out of straight out of the tap or something, nice and ice cold.
I was just going to say, ice cold in the blaring sun, this would go down really easy.
Yeah, probably too easy.
Yeah. That's really easy.
These are just around cellar temperature because I was storing them in my cellar and then I threw them in a cooler bag with some ice packs.
Which is good for tasting it. You get a better flavor profile when it's not freezing cold, but yeah, this would be way easy to knock back.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've had too many different beers from Bombers, so it's good to kind of get back to them and try out some of their beers.
Yeah. You said that was only 4%?
Yes. 4.0.
Interesting. Yeah, I like it. It wouldn't be my go-to kind of thing. I'm not always looking for fruit beers, but...
Yeah, me neither. Just for a nice summer sipper. I mean, hey, if you're looking for a brunch beer...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unless if you don't have an espresso stout on hand, this would be just as good.
Well, you know, if you don't feel like having coffee and you want some mimosa, kind of that idea.
Mm-hmm. So Bomber, they've gone through some changes in the last year or two.
Yeah, they sure have. Yeah.
So they've basically changed ownership, and the new ownership did some rebranding.
Yep.
It's been interesting. I don't know. The
dive bombing seagull or whatever you want to call it.
And a lot of people found the new font or whatever very boring and plain and stuff. But, it is what it is, right?
Same brewer. Yeah. Still making good beer. And I've noticed recently, too, looking at all of their cans that were in their cooler when I stopped in after I got these samples.
Yeah.
Almost everyone has a very different... brand to them compared to what they first rebranded to.
Yes, when they first rebranded, they had that really plain look, and they were all the same, just different colors, right?
Yeah.
So I was a little confused at who made this beer that we're drinking right now, because the label was very different.
Yeah, it almost looks like mountains or sand dunes, but they're the color of tangerines.
Yeah,
it's kind of all...
And you don't see the Bomber Brewing logo predominantly displayed. It's very small and subdued in the back beside the stone one. It's not on the front of the label. It's, very different. A bit of a departure from what they've been doing.
And it says Sunday brunch, but it almost looks like it's a beer for just before the sun goes down with the colors on that can.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I guess it could be sunrise or sunset.
Mm.
Good point. With the warm colors, it almost looks more like a sunset.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't have known that was Bomber if I saw that on the shelf.
Yeah, neither would I have, yeah. It's a big departure from both their original branding and their current branding that everyone seems to know.
And I wonder if that's just because it's a collaboration or you think they're actually going that way now.
One of our next beers is, again, quite a bit different than what we've seen from them. So I think they might be going away from that rebrand a little bit.
Yeah.
It might be, I think it's still their logo, but I don't think it's going to be the front and center thing anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's funny there, cause there was a few breweries who were putting out like wildly different labels on each beer for a while there.
Twin Sales and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about maybe Boombox or
Superflux. You know,
guys like that that were putting out some Strathcona really crazy too, ones actually. For a while. Yeah, they were doing some too. Yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, you see breweries that have very cohesive labels, and you can tell at a glance that it's them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got other breweries that do really wild, crazy labels and. They're trying to get your attention with them almost, right? Well, you're like, oh, what is that?
Even Parkside is kind of like that, right?
Well, yeah.
They're two core beers kind of thing. The Pilsner very and the Pale different. Are very similar, and then everything else is wildly different.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, it's a strange world trying to get people to buy your beer.
Yeah, no doubt. I wouldn't know. I'm just the one who goes and picks it off the shelf and goes,
I'm not the marketing guy.
Yeah, nope. It'd be bad if I was the marketing guy for any brewery.
Buy it. It's good.
Hire me now.
So, if you hear some people talking in the background, we're in the park. There's people walking by with their kids and skateboarding and
riding their bikes
and walking, and
there's still a bit of a soccer game. I think it might be just wrapping up, but there was a bit of a soccer game going on across the parking lot from us.
Yeah, and there's a group next to us having dinner.
Yeah,
at a table, and there's a gentleman on the bench across from us having a chit chat on his telephone.
Very civilized.
And you can hear the airplane coming by now. All we need is some crows to visit.
Yeah, no doubt. Someone to walk by, sparking a joint.
I'm not sure if that's legal in public.
Yep.
In a public park?
I didn't see any no smoking signs. Right there. Oh, is it? Okay, then maybe not.
It says no fires, no smoking, and no something else.
Okay, they'll just be vaping it or eating it then.
Yeah, typically it's no smoking in parks. So yeah, you'd have to... Edibles you could do
in
park.
Edibles, yeah.
It's hard to tell, though, if people are having them.
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty. So you had another funny labeled one from Bomber.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot different, that label. So that one's got like these weird geometric shapes all over it. An interesting color scheme. It's got like tans and rusts and sort of a muted purple.
It kind of reminds me of a lot of the hazy IPA like wacky labels.
Yeah.
So this is the Raspberry Park Life. So it's a one-off of their Park Life, which is, I think it's a passion fruit sour wheat beer. Oh. And this is a raspberry version.
Switched it out with raspberry.
So it's 5.3% alcohol,
ooh,
fresh and subtly sweet, an American blonde ale using fermented raspberries for a fruit kick in this twist on our unofficial beer of the summer.
So blonde with raspberries. And the raspberries added prior to the fermentation.
Woohoo! Look at the color on that one.
Oh, wow. That's definitely got raspberries in it. Holy smokes. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a red. That looks like raspberry juice. That is crazy. Wow. Look at how red that is.
Even the head is red, right?
Oh, man. There's a lot of raspberry in this. For sure. Wow. Oh, it smells like raspberries. Oh, God, it smells fantastic. It smells like raspberry syrup or raspberry jelly or something.
Oh, interesting. I haven't sniffed it yet.
Oh. So the nice, thick, rocky pink head. Super deep, like almost like a ruby, kind of red from the raspberries.
Wow, it just smells like raspberry juice.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Again,
it's not...
This is reminding me, the aroma and the appearance are reminding me of like Lindemann's the raspberry.
Is that framboise or what a framboise
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Framboise.
Wow.
God, it smells great. Okay, let's taste this sucker. Super clear. Very, very bright. Just the nice red color.
Damn. A little tiny tartness.
Wow.
Not very sweet.
But so clearly the raspberries were added prior to fermentation. The sugars are fermented right out.
Mm-hmm.
Very dry. Well, not very dry, but it's quite balanced and towards the drier side. You're not picking up that sweet raspberry flavor. You're getting that tartness from the raspberries.
Yeah.
And a little bit of that astringency from the seeds, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But, wow, that's quite nice.
It's actually very, very different than the regular Park Life that I remember. It's been a while, but I don't even know why you'd call this Park Life at this point. Wow. It's
delicious. Beer, yeah. I love the taste of the raspberry without the sweet component.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically with these kind of fruited, like raspberry wheat beers or whatever, I think the fruit's being added at the end of the process, yeah. So you still get some of that sweetness, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, this is really nice.
That's great.
This isn't a fruit cocktail. This is just...
It's got a really nice sort of bitter finish, too. It's not, you know, finishing anywhere on the sweet. Not really hops
bitterness, but a little bit of bitterness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like from the fruit or whatever.
I think so. It's really nice. Wow.
Well,
I like that better than your typical raspberry beers.
Oh, for sure, yeah. A lot of them just kind of get really sickeningly sweet for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess because they're adding it after fermentation. After the fact.
So this is more like, almost more like a raspberry cider.
Yeah.
Because it's been fermented out, the raspberry juice. Damn. Good idea. Good job, guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'd encourage everybody else, when you're adding your fruit, do it before fermentation.
Unless you're going for a dessert thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
This goes back into that brunch zone again.
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty nice, man.
This is Tuesday brunch because we're recording on Tuesday.
You know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing a scoop of vanilla ice cream in this.
That would be good.
Eh?
Yeah.
On a smoking hot day?
Doesn't have to be smoking hot, but yeah, no, for sure. Mm. I love ice cream floats with beer. That's one of the things I really liked with, I haven't been to Red Truck in quite a while, but I liked that they were doing ice cream floats, at least when I was there last.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Something I've been thinking about.
Nice.
Well, we have a stout on, and we have root beer on tap and that, so I'm thinking some vanilla ice cream in the brewery might be good. It
might not be a bad idea, yeah.
So I've been toying with it.
Okay, well, let us all know when you
yeah, if
decide
I get some,
to.
I'll let you know, for sure. Man, oh man. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is what happens to these lovely beverage containers while we're finished with them. Something we rarely talk about is, I know we have talked in private about taking the recycling back and recycling drink containers, but we've never spoken about it on the podcast. I got a flyer in the mail yesterday from Return It. Which, you know, I didn't
Encore
really pay
Return
much.
It, which is the what we use in BC for recycling.
Right. Well, they're one of the chains.
One of the main ones, yeah.
So they have this pamphlet that showed up in the mail, and I didn't really pay much attention to it because it's basically trying to sell you on their express service. So I know the express service is something that both you and I use. So basically what you do is you buy these blue recycling plastic bags, you fill them up with cans and plastic bottles.
Make sure they're clean and dry first.
Yep. And then you take a full bag in, you walk up to the machine, if you've already signed up for the program, you put in your phone number, it prints off a sticker, you slap that sticker on the bag, you chuck it in a bin, and you're gone.
Yeah.
So it's quick, it's easy, it's simple, and I like it because it still winds up with money in my pocket instead of just putting them outside for the local recycling guy to pick up, right?
And it also, it can go on to a digital account for you. And then when you want it, you just request your money and they send it out to you.
And that's another part of the program. If you want to, you can donate that money to certain designated charities and that kind of idea. Or you can just cash it out and have them send you a check whenever you'd like. But they're running a promotion this summer that started at the beginning of July, and I only found out about this yesterday because my wife actually read the damn pamphlet.
Nice.
And she was quite excited to learn that there are some plushies available of the puppets that they use in their commercials.
Oh, God.
And for the summer, I think it's July and August, you get a certain point with every container you return through the express program. And you can accumulate points, and then in exchange for the points, you can get these plushies.
Okay.
Right? So you can see there's different point values. It starts with the one container, which is the water bottle, I believe. Right? Walter bottle.
Yeah, there is a water bottle.
And he's 1,500 points, I believe, or something like that. And then it goes up from there, right, to the can. The can's the most expensive one. So I looked a little closer into it. I went onto the website, went into my account, and checked my account, and I had accumulated points since the beginning of July without even knowing about it.
Huh.
And I can turn those points in to get a plushie.
Is that instead of your money or on
no,
top
no, no, no.
Of...
This is completely separate.
Nice.
So I was like, oh. And Shannon likes the Walter bottle, which happens to be the cheapest of them with the least amount of points. And I had enough points for it. So Walter bottle is in the mail on its on its way coming to my house. And all I did was return my containers like I usually do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Shannon was stoked. She's really excited and can't wait to see Walter bottle. So anyways, short story. If any of y'all out there using Returnit depots, I would encourage you to sign up for the Express. Not only is it super simple and easy, but you can win yourself a fabulous prize.
And you don't have to stand in line and make a big mess.
That's the best part. You don't have to count anything. You don't have to sort anything. You don't have to put anything into flats. None of that garbage.
Yeah, just in a nice clear blue plastic bag.
Yeah.
Or it just to be a clear bag. I don't think it has to be the blue bags. But
I think they prefer the blue ones, but yeah, clear. They have to be clear so they can see that it's
not gross and dirty and proper containers.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm already in the habit of rinsing out my cans and bottles because I don't like fruit flies in my house. So that's, it's no brainer. It's super simple.
Yeah. And I've been known to collect a couple bags of them before I bother going to the depot. So
I got two bags right now.
Yeah. I ended up
and
with
you
five.
Know what? The last week I drove by and every time I drove by, there was a bloody lineup. So I've been waiting, I'll go first thing one morning or something.
I usually go like sort of brunch time on a Saturday. In and out.
Is it usually busy or?
Yeah, there's usually four or five people sorting.
Yeah.
But just walk in.
That's the problem is I think most of the people in the line are there to do sorting and stuff, right? So I bet you if I walked up to that line and had my blue bag, she'd just wave me through probably, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like lines, though.
Yeah, neither do I. Really.
So, yeah. Anyways, cool little bonus for already doing what you're doing. All you got to do is check your account.
I want the Al Capitan or whatever.
Yes, that's the one I want too, but he's the big one. I think it was 2,500 points or something ridiculous. I don't think I'll get enough. Looking at what I did for July and trying to project that onto August, yeah, I don't think I'll get enough points for the can.
Got to drink more.
I'm trying to drink less, Mike.
Ah, oh, come on now. Support your local businesses.
Yeah, I just don't want my doctor in the hospital to be one of those businesses.
True. At least it won't bankrupt you in Canada.
Yeah. Just total disclaimer, we don't recommend drinking more than 2 standard drinks per day.
We don't?
Well, for your health. Oh. Well, at least your physical health.
Yeah, whatever.
Mental health is a different story.
I'm drinking for mental health.
That's normally what it's about. Yeah. That said, I'm on day 2 of my 4-day shift. And the last 2 days have been challenging.
I bet.
So, yeah, it's nice having a drink or two in the park. He's pulling out the next one. Now, this one has more of the Bomber Brewing kind of look to it that I would expect. This is more to do with the current kind of branding.
But still, it's kind of gotten rid of the dive bombing seagull or whatever bird it is.
Yep. And I don't know what that was about. Parkside already had a kind of bird that they use as their kind of logo or mascot or whatever. So it was kind of odd to pick something similar.
Yeah, it is, but who knows? Maybe a marketing firm just thought it was a good idea.
Probably, yeah. So this one, you can tell it's Bomber for sure. Big, giant letters along the top inch of the label. Bomber Brewing, all the way around the can. Big block letters. Can't miss it.
That's for sure. And it is called Even Money. It is a passion fruit IPA. So it's definitely got a bit of a fruit theme in these three beers here.
Starting to see a bit of a theme.
This is a fresh and hop forward Pacific Northwest IPA meets blonde ale, cross using fermented passion fruit for even part sweet to tart. That's worth a wager.
Passion fruit, eh?
And it is 5.4% alcohol.
Seems like a large number of fruit beers for a brewery.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But it is summer. Good time for fruit beers.
It sure is, yeah. And hey, now that there's larger patios in a lot of breweries some parks that are available for legal drinking, let alone the sneaky beers everyone's always done.
Yeah. Oh, this is the very first beer I've had in a park, Mike.
Yes, me too. I never lie.
Oh, Lord.
Actually, it is the first beer I've had in a park this year, I think. Had lots last year.
I don't know. I lose track.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I've had lots of beers this year in provincial parks on the peaks of mountains.
That's true. Yes, that is true. Got photograph evidence.
Yeah. Guilty.
No, I think one of the oddest places I've had a drink is, or a beer, is in the middle of Fred Meyer's. The one on Burnside has a small bar in it. So
can't complain about that.
It's, this is in Portland, on Burnside. There's a Fred Meyer by the soccer pitch, and they got a fantastic small but well curated beer list. And the bartenders they have there are fantastic.
That's awesome.
So you sit there and you have some really well priced pints of really nice beer, and the bar has its back to the bakery and the deli. So quite often the bartenders will go around the wall and come back with little bits of charcuterie or pastries or desserts or whatever.
Yeah.
And give you little samples while you're drinking your beer.
Okay,
give
that's
you a little
awesome.
Bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, it's amazing. I love that place.
Well, I don't remember where it is, but there are some places, I think in the States, where you can have a beer while you shop, like on your cart.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now that's brilliant.
Probably not currently, but...
That's how you get me to shop. That's how you get me into your store.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've done that in Mexico. Where they fed me beer so that they could try and sell something to my wife. And it worked.
Oh, I bet it did, yeah.
They fed me beer and tequila. And then sold her a really high-priced necklace.
Smart sales.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll stick around as long as you keep feeding me ice cold beer.
Yeah, no doubt. But can you drink enough to offset the price of that?
No, hell no.
So this is...
Wow. That smells great.
Super hazy. It's got that kind of orange color you get from a hazy IPA. White head.
Yep. Yeah, it's maybe just a little tiny bit deeper orange than normal for a beer like that. Well, that's going to be from the passion fruit. And yeah, it smells like passion fruit.
It sure does, yeah. It's not going to punch you in the face too much, but it's definitely like all passion
that's
fruit.
That's nice.
Definitely a little more sweetness in this one than like the park life
and
the brunch, but not in a bad way. Like it
still finishes nice
still
and
really
bitter
balanced.
And pithy.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know, it's kind of in line with a lot of the New England IPAs. I think this is more maybe from fruit juice than from hops.
Wow. Definitely, yeah. It's super juicy, really fruity, but it finishes kind of bitter. It's not like super hoppy.
Yeah.
But, I wouldn't call it sweet per se.
No, but it's sweeter.
It's sweeter than the other two.
Yeah. This isn't balanced. This isn't dried out. Like this has still got some residual sugars in it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there's a little bit of a tartness in there or something that I wasn't expecting that helps balance it out. It's quite nice.
I don't think I've ever bitten into a passion fruit, so I don't know.
You know, I don't think tartness. I don't think I've had passion fruit on its own.
I've only ever had it in a beer.
Yeah. Or a dessert or something. Yeah. Interesting. Well, you got me curious.
It's one of those things.
Buy some.
You know the flavor from something else.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of tropical fruits that I know the flavor just from beer. It'd be nice to actually try it one time. It's like I'd never even eaten a mango until the last time I was in Cuba.
Yeah.
It's like I had no idea what fresh mango tastes like. It was either, you know, that candied dried mango, which is awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
That's hiking? Like, oh, yeah, candied papaya or whatever it is. It's like too sweet.
Oh, it's great for hiking. It's candy without being candy.
Oh, no. Hiking, you take meat candy.
Ah, oh, do that
beef
too.
Beef jerky.
Trail mix and all that stuff too. Hawkins cheesies.
Oh God. Yeah, nothing better on the trail than Hawkins cheesies. Yeah.
They're on sale.
And in a pinch you can start a fire with them.
That is a good point.
They got so much fat soaked in there, they'll light up no problem.
They tasted great with my beer at the peak weekend.
I bet. Jeez, I never had space in my pack for cheesies.
Oh, it was one of those little individual packs.
The little Halloween ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was always very, when I was in hiking shape, I was always very conscious of the weight. And
Yeah,
so beers, I might take a couple cans tops, but it was usually whiskey.
Okay, yeah.
Right? More bang for the buck for weight-wise, right?
For me, a hike, it's just I just take a tall can of beer. It's just to sit up on the peak and just enjoy one. If I'm backpacking, I might take a crowler or two.
That's right. If I'm backpacking, I'll take a beer or two and take a flask of whiskey. Nothing better than some cinnamon hot chocolate with some whiskey in it at the end of the day.
Not a big fan of hot drinks.
Beautiful. So. Oh, it's a nice nightcap. Around the campfire.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. This is a darn good beer, though, too.
Yeah, this is the last of the
fruit
samples that I was given, and the last of the fruit ones, too, from them. I do have one more beer that I picked up. After running into their sales guy, I stopped in at the brewery because I was in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Just to check out because I hadn't been there in so long.
Yeah.
So I do have one more beer to share.
Yeah, I'll just tease a little bit longer. I haven't been there in ages either.
So they don't have their inside seating open right now because it's so small.
Okay.
But they've built a little patio out in the street now.
Like most have.
So it's I can't remember if you order at the bar and then walk out or if it's table service there because –
most places are doing table service these
they
days.
They are now, and it's being mandated, I think, pretty soon.
Well,
but there's some grace period.
I think it was
period.
2 weeks ago there was some new rules. Dr. Bonnie slapped everybody on the hand. BC's not doing as well as they were. Everybody's getting lackadaisical and not worrying about things anymore. So, yeah, there were some new rules brought in to clarify with pubs and restaurants and bars.
Although I don't even think pubs, bars, and restaurants are really the issue. It's a lot of people just having these stupid
that
private parties.
That seems to be what the problem is right now is, private parties. So in Surrey last weekend, there was a big party two nights in a row, 800 attendees or something stupid. So I'm sure we're going to see some fallout from that.
Just put a couple of those people holding those parties in detention for a little while.
Yeah, it's kind of nasty, you know, because if we'd had a proper lockdown where people really weren't traveling, we could be over it by now, you know?
Yeah. Problem is that they still keep letting people in.
Well, people were traveling the whole time,
right?
So, I mean, they tried to, I guess, mitigate it or keep it to a minimum. But, and that's all it ever was, I think, was about making sure that the
hospitals
stayed. The curve was flattened so that the hospitals could accommodate the numbers. Yeah.
And I think we have kind of reflattened at a much higher daily number now, but it's still not great.
You're right. It's not great. And unfortunately, our neighbors to the south don't seem to really care too much about it. They are a haven for the spreading of it. They have as many as 5 million infected or something crazy. Yeah.
And who really knows because the White House is hiding it now.
Oh, they'll keep it going for years. I mean, this is never going away now, thanks to them. I'm sure we'll see it for years and years.
Probably.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, God, I'm glad I don't live in the States where my passport's no good. I live in Canada where my passport will take me to some places, but I don't feel like going right now.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel bad for a lot of my American friends, though, and family, because what a nightmare right
now.
Yeah,
no kidding. So I heard something last week, I think, that Hawaii was going to be opening to Canadians September 18th with no quarantine period when you arrive.
But you have to, within 72 hours, I think, of your flight, you have to go get a COVID test and come up negative, and then you can go there.
Yeah.
But when you come home, you will still have to quarantine for 14
That's
days.
That's the deal. So, yeah, your 2 weeks in Hawaii just became a month vacation, right? Yep. So, no thanks.
Yeah, no. 2 weeks of freedom in Hawaii to be stuck in your home and not leave for 2 weeks. No.
Yeah, no. Not worth it. Yeah.
Also, it's not worth going to a party right now because you might end up doing the same thing. Self-isolating.
Well, they're basically telling people that were at this party on the weekend in Surrey to self-isolate, do your quarantine.
I think they said something like there's 1,500 people in BC right now self-isolating.
Yeah, I had 1,700. Oh,
17 now? Yeah.
But, yeah.
So you may not have any symptoms. You might not even be sick, but you're going to be legally mandated to stay in your home told.
That's right. So I'm just avoiding people altogether pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Or get out in the park 6 feet apart.
Yeah, there you go.
Have some beers as long as that park's legal, or put it in a solo cup and just do it anyways because everyone already has.
Oh, well. Or solo cups are fine, but they're kind of a heat score. I would highly recommend the insulated coffee mug.
That works too,
with the lid. Even branded ones say, if people think you're drinking your coffee, they'll leave you alone.
It's true. Get a drinking cup.
Well, I've got the lid, but I haven't found a cup yet to fit a tall can. I got to get
one now.
I got to get that cup they have. Yeah.
Or a Starbucks. I hear Starbucks cups actually
the Vente?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. I got to try that. Because I got the lid, but yeah, I haven't found a good paper cup yet. Yeah, but whatever. At the end of the day, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, there sure is. Not that I've ever done it before.
You'd be surprised where you can walk with a coffee mug in your hand.
Yeah.
Safeway, SkyTrain, whatever.
Bus, yeah, I've done
it. It's all good.
I brought a small can that time. You know, it works.
I took the West Coast Express for about a year. Sometimes at the end of a hard day in the summer, I would take the C bus back over to the waterfront station.
Yep.
Pop into Steamworks, grab a beer, get on the West Coast Express, and drink my beer on my way home.
Nice. I remember being on the SkyTrain one time, and I went to a store, and I think I usually drink Coke products, but I think I had a Diet Pepsi that time and cracked it open, and someone saw the can and thought it was a beer, probably a Coke, and he looked, he smiled, and he cracked a Coke, and I'm like, that's actually not, but okay. So I've ran into people like that too.
That's funny. Yeah. And I would never suggest or condone it, but I've heard that sometimes people even take beer into the movie theaters.
Or you could just go to one of the VIP theaters and
where they let you
buy a beer.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're willing to go into a theater right now, most of them are running $5 movies.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm not, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I got Netflix. I'm good.
I just go to the drive-in theater in Langley.
Ah, yeah. We've been meaning to go. It just hasn't aligned yet, but yeah, I love the drive-in.
Yeah.
It's so nostalgic. Reminds me of childhood.
And I mean, a lot of the movies they're playing right now are really
nostalgic
too. Yeah,
because they don't have to pay the
huge fees.
The huge fees. Yeah, well, because they can't fill their lot, right?
50% capacity.
Yeah, which is kind of, well, I suppose you need that 6 feet between the windows, right, of the cars.
They're basically, instead of going side by side, there's like 20 feet between cars now.
20.
I think it's 20 feet because I think there was like a 10-foot spot per car, and now they've just gone middle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's 20 feet between cars.
So basically,
now
you got 10 feet between a car.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I got to make it out there. I know a lot of people have. But yeah.
Yep. Obviously, it'll never be legal to drink there, but.
No. But I've done that before, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
That was back in the old days, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? For fruit beers, that trio was pretty damn decent. None of them were ridiculously sweet. None of them were ridiculously over-the-top fruity slapping you in the face.
Yeah.
It was all noticeable. You could tell the fruit was there, but it was well done. It wasn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't... It was thought out.
Yeah, this isn't like super sweet fruit juice. It's not pop.
Yeah.
It's a fruit beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so this one wasn't a sample they gave me, but I picked it up because I'm a sucker for Russian Imperial Stouts. So this is their Russian Doll. It's I think this might... As Warren drops a cap into his beer glass. This might be a new or rebranded Russian Imperial Stout, I'm not sure. But it's Boulder Ridge, an Imperial Stout with roasted chocolate and coffee notes, boasting a complex malt-on-malt-on-malt profile. It's 9.5% alcohol.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds like a malt-forward beer.
Wow.
Yeah. You can tell this is a stout. It's dark. Holy moly. Really dark.
Just done right, that's all.
Wow, like a super deep beige, well, tan, dark tan head. That's really dark. That's darker than most stouts I've seen. Holy smokes. Oh, that smells rich.
Oh. Yeah, it's definitely got the chocolate thing going on.
Malts and yeast and just that real rich maltiness coming up in the nose.
Yeah, like there's no doubt in your mind when you're going to take a sip of this that it's going to be a big-bodied beer, lots of flavor.
It's got that kind of earthy, yeasty thing that I associate with like a British ale yeast.
Yeah.
Almost has a... The aroma is reminding me almost of a barley wine.
Yeah, actually, yeah, for sure. Another beer that I really like.
Wow. Whoa. That is massive.
There's definitely like some milk chocolate and then some like dark chocolate flavors. A little bit of roast and bitterness.
Definitely chocolate and roast. Getting a bit of that yeast thing.
Yep.
Kind of earthy.
Probably like almost like a molasses or something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This one's definitely more of a dessert beer. It's definitely sweeter.
It is on the sweet side for sure.
Although that's actually the way I prefer my Russian Imperial Stouts. I don't like the really dry, yeah. Like, bitter ones.
Yeah. This almost has that, it has a flavor in there that I identify occasionally. And the only way I can describe it is soy sauce.
The umami or whatever?
Yeah.
A little bit for sure,
It doesn't have the saltiness of a soy sauce, but it's got that, yeah, umami.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I don't consider that a bad thing. Like, I think it really works in this.
Mm-hmm. You get that in a lot of Russian Imperials
and
barley wines.
And non-barrel aged. This is not, you know, something that's been aged in oak and everything.
No, it's still got a bit of a hop presence and stuff.
Yeah.
It's still a little sharp. Hasn't rounded off. So, yeah, it hasn't been aged, really.
But I love the fact this is a 4-pack tall cans of beer.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
4-pack of tall cans.
You know, it's not the bomber.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not the bomber anymore. Like, you can actually have, like, a 4-pack cans and put a couple aside.
Do they actually make bombers still?
I don't remember if I saw any bombers there. I think it might have all been cans.
Interesting. This just in. Bomber Brewing has no bombers.
Yes. Well, it was the name of their hockey team before it was a brewery. So,
is that right?
Yeah, they were the Bombers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, Blair was a home brewer and started bringing his home brew.
Yeah.
And Don and the gang, Don Farian and the gang, were drinking his beer and said,
"This is like, pretty good."
I know restaurants. Yeah. I know like food and restaurants and everything. They had someone who knew like marketing and everything. And then they had someone who could brew. It's like, why don't we open a brewery?
Yeah. Yeah. They did that.
Yeah.
And then they sold it.
They did.
No, Farian's been around for a long time. Oh, yeah. He knows the industry. He knows what he's doing.
Anyone that's eaten at a beer craft has, you know, been in an establishment that he's had his fingers in for sure.
Yeah. So this is a big stout. If you're not into big flavors, this isn't for you.
No, for sure,
It's huge.
But I like big beers, so. But you know what I will say, though? For how big it is, it's not boozy, really.
I was just going to say, it's not that hot.
No,
it's kind of hard to even detect the alcohol in there. I mean, I'm getting it, and I can tell it's there, but all that's telling me is it's probably 7 or 8%, or maybe more, right?
Yeah, what was it again?
It's actually pretty smooth. At 9.5?
9.5, yeah.
Holy crap. Like, yeah, it doesn't taste like a 9.5.
No, yeah. I think that's one of those things with the Russian Imperial Stout. You get that residual sweetness.
Yeah.
And it can hide that alcohol content really easily.
Not just
well done.
Not just that. I mean, it has a bit to do with yeast health and fermentation temperatures and that kind of thing. If your yeast isn't healthy, it's going to spit out some weird alcohols and weird off flavors and stuff, right? So it's all about pitching at the right rate and keeping the yeast healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Which they have probably done fairly well.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, there's no fusels or weird spiciness or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the more I'm drinking this, the easier it is becoming.
It's funny how that happens with bigger beers, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure that's an appropriate beer for an August day in
yes,
the park.
It is.
But I could definitely have a nice glass of this and sip on it while watching a big rainstorm out the window or something like that.
I guess. Or why don't we head to a liquor store in the area, see if we can find a selection of barley wines and Russian Imperial Stouts, and see if it works. Summer barley wine special or something.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Mike thinks it works. Warren doesn't.
It'll be nap time in the park.
Absolutely. Oh, I know what we can do. There is a river or a creek down there. Just get some floaties and put our microphones in some waterproof gear. And
we can broadcast from the river.
Float down the river. And
we got to look at that map and see if the river is included in the park.
Yeah, it's true.
You might have something.
Or just sit on the shore. Keep the beers cold in the river.
All right, so if you're out there listening and you want to go and enjoy a beer legally, where you're not looking over your shoulder or having to be covert in any way, head over to Coquitlam. Check out their website first so you know which of the parks are included in this pilot project. And, grab a couple of cans of beer, maybe even from one of the local breweries in Port Coquitlam, like Taillight or Northpaw. And
Tin House,
yeah. Or Provincial, even. Grab a
Patina
cocktail.
Patina's, I don't know if they,
here. I'm not
I don't
sure
know if
they
sell beer to go.
I'm not sure if they're brewing their own beer yet, even.
I was there recently. The food was really good, and the beer was good.
Yeah, well, they were contract brewing for quite some time, so they may be brewing on premise now. I haven't been back to check it out recently. But yeah, they're not too far from here. You could probably even pick up some barbecue and some beer and walk over to the park. I think there's a couple of parks that you could probably walk to from there.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, I would encourage you to, do it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not a ton of the summer left, but, you know, the weather usually stays nice for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Your city doesn't
right
allow it
September.
Yet. Start causing trouble with your city, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If
raise
your
hell.
Municipality is not doing this, is not on board, tell them that you are going to Port Coquitlam and actively purchasing from the local businesses there and taking advantage of the parks in Port Coquitlam. All you have to do is tell them that you're leaving your municipality because your municipality isn't providing you with the services you need.
Yes, and I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and they don't want you hanging out indoors.
Right.
So give the options for people to go outdoors.
If I could walk down the street and have a beer in the park, why not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the other one that's I'm waiting for or I've been paying attention to is Port Moody.
Yeah, I was really hoping that they would announce something.
I mean, they got Rocky Point Park. It's right across the street from Brewer's Row.
And there had been rumblings a couple years ago that Pomo might be allowing
so
drinking in the park anyways.
So this would be the perfect time to jump on board.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you've got five breweries across the street.
Yeah.
You've got
another
brewery just
far.
Down the road. An ice cream place right there.
Yeah.
Lots of restaurants in the area. You could definitely have people just sit and have a picnic out in the park.
Yeah.
Like I've always said, to anyone who complains about drinking in public, it's always been illegal to be a drunk in public.
Yes, yes.
And it's always
public
been illegal.
Public intoxication is illegal.
It's always been illegal for children to drink.
Absolutely.
So if a cop sees a child drinking, they're going to break it up.
Yeah.
If you're just an adult sitting, having a beer, having a wine, having a cider, whatever,
what's
and not
the problem?
Causing any trouble, what's the problem?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. Yep.
Don't police good behavior.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I don't know. It's funny in BC, the liquor laws are so antiquated that
most places
it's always about if liquor's available, then trouble's going to happen.
Yeah,
right. So it's kind of a weird way of looking at things.
Yeah. And I mean, if you've got an addictive personality, it could be a problem. But that's with everything, right? You can be addicted to almost anything.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah. But what's that got to do with being able to have a beer at the park?
Exactly. But I mean, you're saying. Might bring problems. Well, if it's going to bring problems to you, it doesn't matter if it's at your home or in the park.
Right. So the assumption from the legal side is that if the alcohol is available in this area, then people are going to be drunk and fighting and puking and causing a scene, which is kind of weird. You're basically painting everybody with the same brush by looking at the lowest common denominator and the few people that might not be able to handle it.
And likely those people that would do all that stuff? It is still not legal for them to drink in this park.
Correct.
Because they're probably teenagers.
Or.
A lot of them.
Or they're just drunk idiots.
Yeah.
Who are causing a scene anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, two of the guys that were here earlier drinking looked like they might not have had a home in a little while. And they were quietly sitting there and having a couple beer and not causing any problem.
No problems.
Yeah. And they came and chatted with us before
we
started.
They were quite friendly. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean. Lions Park, down the street here.
Yep.
Not too far. We could probably walk there in about 20 minutes. Lions Park, I think, is also designated as alcohol-friendly for now. But that park has always had people hanging out there drinking and partying. There's a large number of homeless individuals who frequent that park.
Yeah.
And they sit there all day drinking.
Yeah.
So by changing the laws, all that's allowed is those people to continue doing what they're doing without the police talking to them every single day.
And causing trouble, because that's often what happens.
And and you know what? I've been through that park and I've seen those guys, and sometimes they get a little loud and a little obnoxious and stuff, but for the most part, it's harmless. Harmless.
Yeah. Yeah. I just pulled up the list of parks.
Okay, good.
From Port Coquitlam. You can find that at portcoquitlam.ca. Where is it here? Actually, you know what? We'll add the link later. But if you look up the Port Coquitlam,
Google it.
And then alcohol beverages or whatever in parks. It's Castle Park, Settlers Park, Gates Park, Lions Park, Aggie Park, Evergreen Park, and Cedar Drive Park.
Now, come to think of it, Aggie Park is pretty small. That's where the outdoor pool is and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if they have any picnic tables. But yeah, it's not a bad little park. There's a lot of residential around there.
Which is perfect then.
Castle Park. We should maybe check that out at some point. Okay. Because Castle Park's really nice. That's up in Mary Hill there.
Okay, nice.
Up on top. They do fireworks there, I think, on July 1st usually and that kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
It's not a bad size park.
Okay, well, I mean, we probably should just, whenever we're doing one of these recordings, we'll just travel to a different park.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now we got a good idea. We do a series of these.
Yeah, and it's a lot safer.
Report on which parks are the best.
Yeah, and it's a lot safer to drink with buddies out at a park than inside an enclosed space.
Sure, yeah. Especially if you're, you know, uncomfortable having other people visit your private domain.
Much like I am.
Right.
And so, I'm usually, pre-COVID, my home was where the podcast was recorded, usually.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of places that normally I would frequent, like, say, my brother-in-law's home. When we have visited recently, it was kind of like, there's the hand sanitizer at the door. We're hanging outside. If you're going to go inside to use the bathroom, use the hand sanitizer first.
Yep.
Go in, use the bathroom, wash your hands, come out.
Yeah, it's just like my family. I've been spending more time at my sister's house in the front yard because she's got a fairly large front yard. Mm-hmm. So my mom will come over. We'll all go there and sit out in the yard and have dinner or whatever. For my birthday this year, we did a little like drive-in theater. We borrowed a projector and everything, although it wasn't dark enough, so we just used a computer screen, a large computer screen, but watched a movie and, you know, got to do the whole family thing without being inside.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I think for the most part, people are being pretty creative and finding good ways to keep themselves occupied and entertained.
Just stay safe.
I'm My wife's a bit of an introvert, so she's perfectly fine with staying home and not seeing people and reading her book.
Yeah.
I'm more of an extrovert, or I have been typically, and I, you know, I prefer to go out and hang out with people and that kind of thing. But you know what? Last few months or whatever, during this COVID thing, I've been happy to stay home a little more often and just relax and sort of, you know, recharge and kind of take advantage of the situation.
I've definitely been staying home a lot more.
I'm
out a lot more now, but it's because I can do things outdoors. The weather's nice, like the hiking and everything.
Now that summer's here, it's...
Summer came really late this year here.
Did it ever. July was terrible.
Like spending July indoors for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm a very extroverted person. I like to be around a lot of people. You know, like physical contact, hugs and all that shit.
Yep.
Not having that has been stressful. And then to be cooped up inside too. So I'm glad that summer finally came.
Yeah, absolutely. Although that's bringing with it its challenges. You know.
Oh, yeah.
With way too many people going to the beach and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, other than some drum circle stupid idiots, you know, it's still pretty safe to sit out at the beach, even if it's busy, because at least you're outdoors. But
yeah,
it's better than being in that same grouping of people indoors.
You got that right. So, you know what? This has been a good little episode.
Yeah, and there's one more beer, actually. Surprise beer.
Very relaxing and quiet. And I kind of was hoping that Carnell or somebody could have joined us.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's been all right.
The pilot project for the two of us, and then we'll try to get more hosts on for one of the future episodes, right?
Maybe we should finish this with a point counterpoint. Sorry, pint counterpoint.
Yeah, no. I'm not very good at that.
Okay. You got another beer? What?
Yes. Pint counterpint. City of Vancouver needs to hurry up and wake up.
Yeah, you're damn
get
right.
Get their parks
they
open.
You're damn right they drinking. Do. They have a lot of breweries in Vancouver.
Yep. They got a lot of parks and a lot of people.
If people want to go and have a great picnic, they're not going to do it in Vancouver.
Yeah. And don't forget, not just that, they got distilleries, they got urban wineries.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple cideries. Kombucha places. I think some kombucha places make alcohol kombucha.
Yep.
They've got lots of local businesses, lots of restaurants that need support, and people want to dine out instead of in.
What's coming to my mind immediately is Lupolo.
Yep.
And what's the other place in Lupolo?
Temporal Ales.
That place is incredibly close to a big park.
Yes, it is.
like a couple blocks. Like, hello? If you're going to be driving customers out into the burbs so that they can get beer and go to a park, as a Vancouver business, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I think those Vancouver businesses should also speak up.
They should be lobbying the local municipal government for sure. Absolutely.
And I mean, hopefully cities like Port Coquitlam here, I mean, just looking around, there's no problems with it tonight at all.
Zero.
And as long as a lot of this pilot program goes well, I hope that all the cities wake up, and hopefully it's not a one-time thing. Hopefully next year and the year after.
Just gets bigger.
And it shouldn't even just be summer times. It's just...
All the time.
Just all the time. And then, you know, after a couple of years, maybe not just at parks.
Yeah.
Just make drinking in public not taboo, because as soon as it's not taboo, it's not as big a friggin' deal.
Yeah.
The more things are taboo, the more especially kids want to do it.
Yeah.
You just... If it's just things like I think it's in Italy, like... It's just not taboo at all. It's just alcohol is just around, and it's not a big a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's boring, then you don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do you think the war on drugs has been such a disaster?
Oh, God. Right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they're just going to legalize it anyways.
Yeah.
So, stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
What a waste of time and energy.
Like, look at just how horrible it's been with legalized pot in Canada.
I actually read an article earlier today that was saying that the sales of legal marijuana in Canada have gone up during the COVID. So they're saying that the COVID is actually helping put the black market growers out of business. Which is interesting.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. Social distancing, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I guess people are at home bored, so they're heading off to their local dispensary.
I guess with dispensaries, maybe what it is a lot of it's like packaged and sealed.
Sure, yeah.
And it's when you're buying from black market, I mean, who knows if someone that's sick has breathed on it or something.
Oh, good point.
You know, like you can't guarantee that it's safe from COVID.
Well, true enough. I don't
know. Maybe it's just something like that. It's something silly as that.
It could be. I don't know. I really have to
ask our local dispensary.
that might be an interesting angle.
Hey, Burb, do you listen?
To see, you know, how their business has been affected by the COVID.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, I'm right now in the middle of writing an article for the next What's Brewing magazine, the fall edition. And my article is going to be precisely about homebrewing and how the homebrewing community or the homebrewing shops have been affected by COVID. And believe it or not, homebrewing's up.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
There's people not making as much money and they have a lot more time on their hands, but they want booze.
Yeah, and you know, homebrewing's a great hobby because at the end of the day, you have beer.
I have two batches still fermenting right now.
How's that barley wine doing?
I don't know.
Is it still stalled out?
I haven't touched it since I brought it down to the cooler storage room.
Oh,
so we'll see.
Give it some time, see what happens.
Yeah.
But it might be a failed experiment.
Whatever, I'll still drink it.
At 1.030, that's going to be pretty sweet.
We'll see.
But hey, I mean, you know, that's part of the hobby too, right?
Yeah.
Learning.
No, exactly.
Keeping your yeast healthy is not easy.
And especially when it, you know, our weather had been pretty steadily keeping our internal temperature of our place
and
at like
it got
20
warm
degrees.
All of a sudden.
And then it was 35 in our place.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't want to live in here, let alone yeast want to live in here.
Yeah. No kidding, eh?
So we'll see how my double IPA and my barley wine go.
Good luck with that. Next time you're brewing in July, I would recommend a Saison.
Well, like I said, July had been pretty ugly. When I brewed them, it still wasn't hot.
See, in the old days, before this Cavique came along, my Saison was my go-to during the summer months. That's what I'd always brew because Saison yeast typically can take 35 degrees Celsius, no problem.
Yeah.
Like a champ, right? So this Cavique thing's changed the whole game though, right? You can use Cavique yeast all summer now to make whatever the hell you want.
Well, and my double IPA that I made is Cavique yeast, so we'll see.
Oh, that should be fine then. Cavique thrives being stressed out. It does. The more you stress it, the better it does. The more you stress it, the better it does. Cavique is this bizarre thing.
From a cold country.
So much different than most other yeasts. It's wild. What'd you bring? Oh, yes. Oh, that one.
So I...
Right.
I got...
Awesome. I'm really
Untapped
looking
reached
to
out to me with the... Yeah. Really? Untapped, the distributor of beer.
Yeah.
They reached out. There's... gluten-free brewery from Quebec called Glutenberg, and they have a new product to British Columbia. Okay. I think it's to their whole portfolio.
Yeah.
But it's a brand new session ale, or session IPA. It doesn't really say on it, but it's a hazy session IPA.
Mm.
It comes in at 4.5% alcohol.
Oh.
And it is made with buckwheat, millet, quinoa, sugars, maltodextrin, hops, and yeast.
Oh.
So it's fully gluten-free. 241 calories to a 473 milliliter can.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I'm used to these gluten-free beers having like spelt and what's that other weird amaranth or whatever. So none of those are in this one, which is a little different.
I wouldn't say it's a low-carb beer. It's got 18 grams of carbs because they actually have the full nutrition facts on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. Holy. Oh, wow.
I think a lot of gluten-free products in general do.
Yeah. Just because people are going to be looking at gluten-free. Could be paleo or this, that, or the other thing. They could be on some weird diet.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes sense.
And I mean, celiacs can't touch wheat, so definitely got the ingredients.
Yeah. So what are the three main... cereals again?
Buckwheat, millet, quinoa.
Buckwheat, millet, and quinoa.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Buckwheat, millet, quinoa. I could probably make that at home.
Possibly, yeah.
Where do I get a lot of millet other than a pet store?
You tell a local homebrew shop to bring it in.
Mm.
Would you know a local homebrew shop in Port Moody?
I just might.
Insert commercial.
Yes, I will have to contact Fraser Mills Fermentation Supplies to see if they have access to such an item.
You better contact your other side of your brewery.
I'll send a Slack message.
Yeah. All right.
You know what? The truth is that Michael is pretty good at what he does, and if you need something that we don't keep in stock, he'll order it.
Yeah, exactly.
And he won't charge you an arm and leg.
Yeah.
All right, I'm super interested to try this Glutenberg. I've heard good things about it. I know celiac people. I've had people actually contact me and ask me if my brewery is going to be making a gluten-free beer, et cetera, et cetera. So this is extremely interesting to me on a personal level. As a side note, we have no plans right now for a gluten-free beer at Fraser Mills, but it could be something that we do down the future or in the future. We're open to all kinds of interesting and unusual ideas.
Yep.
But it would definitely be down the road. There's way too many cool things we want to do first.
Yeah, definitely. But I've already had a can of this, and I was really impressed because I've had some gluten-free beers out there, and I have not been impressed.
This is, I got to be honest with you, I think this might be the first gluten-free beer I've had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This one, it's got a slightly lighter color than the hazy IPA usually.
It is a weird on the light side. It's sort of, I don't know, a light amber or
almost like a
straw.
Pineapple juice or something
color?
Yeah,
kind of. It's odd.
With a white head?
Nice, thick, rocky white head. Decent lacing. It's slightly hazy, not crazy hazy.
It's not milky, but yeah, it's definitely hazier than some of the hazy beers.
Oh, that smells lovely. That smells like an ISA.
Yeah, it's got lots of hop aromas going on.
Yeah, you get that citrusy thing. You get that green hop sharpness up front. Oh, yeah, it smells like there was some late addition hops to this for sure. You're getting those nice aromatics.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going for the New England style.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Little thin in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Not super malty at all, but...
No, but I mean, that's always a struggle with the gluten-free beers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not weird flavored like a lot of gluten-free beers that I have, at least to me.
Yeah, so the body is kind of thin and kind of light.
Yep.
You're not getting that nutty, malty flavor because there's
or
no
the cake batter
malt
kind of
really
thing.
In
yeah.
it. But, that said, the hopper flavors and that are working really nicely. And they don't really have anything to compete with.
Yeah.
So it has I'd say it has about 80% of the ISA flavor that it should have.
Yep.
Which is pretty damn good for a beer that doesn't have any malt and barley in it.
It's, you know, instead of that 40% that most gluten-free beers have.
Again, I haven't tried any, so this is where my benchmark is now. And I'll probably be sadly disappointed with anything I try in the future.
Yeah, well, hell yeah.
That's too bad.
But I know it's got lots of nice hop flavors going on. A little bit fruity. It's not like super juicy.
Yeah, definitely fruity.
Pithy.
Get that citrusy thing.
Citrusy, pith.
Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, it's pretty drinkable. I could... I'm not looking at a direct comparison, but in my mind, this is similar to the Street Legal IPA.
Okay, yeah.
You get the, you know what I mean?
But with like 4% more alcohol?
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But
this has a lot more body than Street Legal, though.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's not as, it doesn't have as much body as a normal ISA, but a lot more than Street Legal.
Well, the Street Legal is, it's got, you can tell it's stripped out. It's kind of missing something, which I'm kind of getting from this. It's sort of missing something.
Yeah.
But that said, there's nothing offensive. There's nothing crazy.
But again, that's because it doesn't have any malted barley in it.
Yeah.
That's what you're expecting.
That's what's missing.
And for this style of beer, it doesn't have oats, which has a nice body.
And that's
going to
give you body,
right?
Mouth, silkiness, all that, right?
But
yeah.
You can't put that in there, right?
Yeah.
But it's still, it's a well-made beer.
You know
beer.
What? For a gluten-free beer, not a low-gluten beer, but an actual gluten-free beer, this is pretty damn drinkable. I would not turn this down, whereas I would turn down a Molson Canadian or a Budweiser right? If somebody offered me this, I'd drink it.
You put that in front of me, I wouldn't know it was a gluten-free beer.
I might suspect there's something up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean, right? Your first thing would not be, this is gluten-free.
No, my first thing would be, is this an ISA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I might not think a little further about it.
You just probably put it down the...
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in your mouth and go, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Wow. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And if you like the bitterness and stuff an ISA, and you unfortunately no longer can have gluten, this is absolutely a beer for you.
Yeah. You know, I do have some gluten-free people in my life. So now if they ask me if there's any options or things like that, I would point them in the direction of this for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. Again, I don't even drink ISAs all that often, so I'm not going out of my way to find ISAs usually. But I wouldn't turn this down if I was going for some ISAs.
No, it's damn decent.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's funny because, and that's the other thing we get, you know, being a home brewer and talking with home brewers, occasionally somebody does bring up the subject and say, you know, I want to make a gluten-free beer for my buddy or whatever, and how do we go about it? I think this is a great place to start. Using these three cereals that they're using doesn't give any weird, unusual flavors or anything like that. I would say this is a good place to start.
And you can still do that haze that people are getting with the hazy beers with these three.
Yeah, grains. I wonder about that. I wonder. They might be crushing the malt, or not the malt, crushing the grains so that there's a bit of a fine
could be
powder in there to keep it.
It doesn't say
cloudy.
Which yeast they're using, so it could still be a non flocculating yeast.
Yeah. Good point.
They could be using a very similar yeast to a lot of the people using
Could be the 1318 or the Juicy or whatever.
Yeah, or the, what do they call that? The Conan strain or whatever that some are using.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is darn decent.
It is.
Quebec, you say?
Yep.
Wow. Interesting.
Say where?
I don't know.
Oh, from Montreal.
Montreal, Quebec. Isn't that where they had the big protest over the weekend with thousands?
Yeah, let's just talk the good parts. The beer.
Sacre bleu.
Tabernacle.
All right.
Well, this was a little different.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite of the Bomber Brewing beers?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a toughie. You know what? I think I'm going to have to go with the raspberry.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because it was a little unusual having raspberry that's been fermented out.
Yeah, I agreed. Yeah.
And I liked that.
I think for me... For the samples, like it's the Russian Imperial Stout, but for the samples, it's probably the even fruit. Money for me. The passion fruit IPA. Yeah,
okay,
it's you know
that one was good too.
It's not the hazy IPAs coming out of Twin Sails or Superflux or anything, but it's got that juicy passion fruit
definitely.
In it. A little bit of bitterness.
Yeah,
close enough to New England IPA for me. It's tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with any of these.
No, all four of them are...
To be honest with you, but yeah.
Good beers. Three of them, probably amazing patio sippers.
Oh, yeah.
One of them, I would sip on the patio. Warren would only do it if there was a cover and it was raining, but...
Yeah. That's a warmer.
No one's perfect, though. Oh, here comes the police.
Oh, shit. They found out we're drinking in the park.
Yeah. Oh. Actually, it's a lot of ambulances.
Uh-oh. This isn't looking good. Good time to end the podcast here. The emergency vehicles have arrived.
Or a fire truck, too.
A fire truck. What's that, an ambulance behind them? Well, they're turning the corner. That's good.
Yeah, so the first one's a fire truck, for sure.
A fire truck, too.
Oh, and it's a
paramedic setup.
Paramedic, yeah.
Okay, somebody's in distress somewhere.
Do a good job, guys.
Thankfully, it's not here.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. We could probably wrap this up then. All right. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us on our website, pacificbeerchat.com. You can find us on social media, Pacific Beer Chat. Oh, they actually, the fire trucks did stop at the park here.
Oh, geez.
Interesting.
Injured soccer player, maybe.
Maybe. If you want to send us an email, you can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com.
Oh, give us some ideas.
And you can support us on Patreon, where we use the money to help pay for equipment, help make the show better. So you can go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Shout out to our Patreon supporters, Steve and Indie Beer Show.
Woo!
Cheers.
Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.